I remember as I looked forward some time ago to reaching 50, that I thought I would reach, well, Yoda Jedi Master level in my level of wisdom. And I'd have to say that in this decade of my life, I feel like I've gone back to kindergarten and I'm learning life new. And I say that because wisdom seems such an elusive kind of thing for us. If we find somebody we count really wise, we feel like we've met somebody important, and I think all of us desire to be wise, but sometimes it seems hard for us to attain. So tonight we want to talk about finding wisdom. I mean, how do we actually find wisdom? How do we achieve this? How do we get this for ourselves? And we're going to be looking at passage, at least one of the passages that you're, I'm sure, well familiar with. You've read both of them before, no doubt. But it's almost surprising how you actually get this, wisdom. We're going to be reading Proverbs 2, the first 8 verses there, and then go to Proverbs 3, 5 through 12. So first, Proverbs 2, 1 through 8. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hid treasures. So he knows all the ifs. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. And then we move on in Solomon's development over into Proverbs 3. And we'll drop down into verse 5. Trust in the Lord, trust in Yahweh with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom he loves as a father, the son, in whom he delights. As you read the book of Proverbs, and particularly these passages, you see this referring to the audience as my son. And so you have this loving concern, an experienced direction of a parent sharing guidance. So you do think of it as maybe crawling up on a wise father's knee or a granddad's knee and say, look, let me tell you how life is. And talks to us with those kind of endearing tones. And then you have this motif of if and then. If you treasure the right thing, that's chapter 2. If you trust the right person, that's chapter 3. Then you'll receive wisdom and all its benefits. It's simple to say, sometimes hard to bring our hearts to. Finding wisdom really does come down to what you treasure and what, or perhaps better, whom you trust. And my hope for us, if we can just get those ideas well planted in our minds, finding wisdom, finding the path to skillful living, really rest on what you treasure, what you really want. Do you really want it? And what or whom you trust. What you treasure in Proverbs 2, you look at the way that Proverbs 2 unpacks this idea of counting the right things valuable, what you treasure. Starts with if you will, and if you will, if you'll do this, if you'll do that. And look at the way that he lays it out. Receive, treasure, make your ear attentive, incline your heart, call out, raise your voice, seek it like silver, search for it as for hidden treasure. You have all this really full response of mind, heart, action, seeking after, the wisdom, seeking after commandments, seeking after the words of God, seeking understanding, seeking insight, and treasuring that like most people treasure silver and gold. In other words, the main reason that a lot of people aren't wise is they don't really want to be. Not bad enough. We kind of rock along in life coasting rather than going after what matters most. What you treasure is how you find wisdom. The high value you place on what you seek determines the level of effort that you give to finding it. So if you want to really know whether you want wisdom, this is like, what are you doing to find it? How are you inclining your ear? How are you seeking it? Like the treasure of the gospel hidden in the field worth more than anything else you could possess. What are you willing to sell to get it? So what happens if you treasure all these things? Look at the path of wisdom. If you do this, if you do that, what happens? Well, we're told then you will understand the fear of Yahweh and you will find the knowledge of God. I don't know if that strikes you as odd, but it did me at first. I said, wait a minute, I thought we were learning how to find wisdom, and now you're telling me that if I look for it, I'll get God instead. I'm looking for wisdom, and I find this reverent awe of God. I'm looking for wisdom, and I find the knowledge of God. I say, okay, how is that supposed to work? I wanted to be wise, and you gave me God. Well, he goes on to explain, Yahweh gives wisdom. Now, the wisdom is not something you're going to obtain by working for it. You're seeking it, you're going after it, you're working hard, but what you get is God. And then God gives you wisdom. It's a gift from him. It's from his mouth that comes knowledge and understanding. He's the one that stores up like treasure, wisdom for the upright, for those that are lining up their lives according to his definitions of right and wrong. He's a shield. He protects those who walk in integrity. He guards the paths of justice. He watches over the way of his saints. It's the people that belong to him that have the protection. It's the people that find him that find the wisdom. It's the people that listen to him that have the insight. It's the people that line up their lives according to his definition of right and wrong that he opens a treasure house of wisdom. Your finding wisdom, my finding wisdom, is all about finding God. And then God says, here you go, son. Here you go, daughter. Here's wisdom. Your relationship to God has everything to do with whether or not you find wisdom. He goes on to say in Proverbs 2, 9 through 12, then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity. Every good path and wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil. And then he goes on to talk about evil men who are perverse in their speech and lead you into stuff that you should never be involved in. He goes on to talk about evil women, the temptress that would draw you into immoral relationships. I mean, our whole culture is just addicted to immorality. It's foolishness. It's a ways of death. But it starts with the reality that we're not really seeking wisdom in the right place. We're not really treasuring the right things. That we're not listening to the God who actually gives us wisdom. So wisdom is a gift God gives to those who seek it like treasure. They find wisdom when they find him because he gives it freely. So as you think about being wise, you know, it's not just about memorizing facts. It's about knowing how to live life, and it's found in a person. Our problem is that God's wisdom, it doesn't always seem wise to us. You ever noticed that? That's where faith comes in, right? Like you have to trust him no matter what. Sometimes it looks foolish to us. In fact, the gospel itself looks foolish to the world, according to 1 Corinthians 1 and 2. But Paul says the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. I mean, God's the one that says, you know, my strength's made perfect in weakness. God's the one that says your Savior was crucified like a criminal. God's the one that says, the way up is down, take up your cross and follow me. God's the one that just like turns the whole world on its head if you're going to find the life that you actually desire. Our faith is to rest not in the wisdom of men. Our faith is to rest in the power of God. And that's really the key. It's not just about what seems right. It's not just about being smart. It's not just about having your act together. It's about knowing God and loving God and trusting him to basically step out onto nothing if he says take the step, and trust that his power will be sufficient to get you through. And you know, this is the kind of life you get then. You get a life that is punctuated by powerful interventions of God. You get to do things and see things that nobody but God can do. And living life that way is the wisest life there can possibly be. That's the most skillful way to live life. It's over the top. It's supernatural. It's amazing. It's miraculous. Man-made worldly wisdom creeps right into the practice of religion itself. If you look at, for instance, in Colossians 2, as Paul talks to the believers there and is trying to get them to focus on Christ and on his word, he begins to talk about the dangers of the human traditions of the world. And he says these regulations that are based on elemental principles of the world they look like wisdom, but they're not. He says in Colossians 2:23, these have indeed an appearance of wisdom. It looks like you're being skillful. It looks like you're being wise in promoting self-made religion, asceticism, severity to the body, but they're of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. What is he saying? They've got no power. And the gospel is about power. Following Jesus is about power. You know, what we do together as a church family, if we want to walk in wisdom, not just in our individual lives, but as a body, what we do together has to be driven by a faith in God, in his person and his word, that makes us step out in ways that might seem foolish to some people, but requires the power of God to live life. And that's what we need most, right? I mean, if you want to just do church, you got 10,000 choices, probably just in Greenville, right? I mean, if we just want to do religious stuff together, we wouldn't even have to come together to do it. We've got lots of choices. But if we want to experience the actual power of God resident in the gospel, it means going after it, seeking him, trusting him, even when it seems foolish. The Christian life is all about seeking the wisdom of God and trusting him and his word, even when it seems unwise to us. So we're treasuring wisdom. We're going after it. We find God. He gives wisdom. And then it's a question, are we going to trust him? Are we going to trust the wisdom that he gives? And that leads us to the second thing that Proverbs deals with. What or whom do you trust? Proverbs 3. And we're familiar with these first couple verses, 5 and 6, of wholehearted trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, okay, so the way that you live, the paths that you walk, acknowledge or know him, so it's back to finding him when you're seeking for wisdom, and he will make straight your paths. It's a road building term. It's used in Isaiah 40 of every valley is brought up and every mountain is brought low and a highway is made for God. Okay? So God makes a way where there wasn't one. That's what the text says. He will make straight your paths. You know, it's not just that he directs your way. He makes a way where there even wasn't a way before. He does miraculous things. So trust him wholeheartedly. Throw all your trust on him. Know him closely and stop leaning on your own understanding, because you're not smart enough to do this. And he is. So whom you trust, wholeheartedly giving yourself to God. Second, the next two verses, these are all in couplets. Humbly obedient reverence. Be not wise in your own eyes. He comes back to that. And then he says, fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. So reverence and awe for God moves us to turn away from the evil that our hearts might otherwise crave. Look, the pitfalls, the evil man, the evil woman, Satan's got all kinds of things in his bag of tricks, and he knows exactly the trick that works on you. Okay? But if your heart will belong to God and humble reverence, you'll find the power to actually turn away from what you might otherwise crave. You're thinking, I've got to have this for my health and happiness. But because of your reverence for God and your trust in God, you say, no, the pleasures of sin are real, but they're at best short-lived, and they bring disease and death to both soul and body. Refreshment to your bones, healing to you. You know, who wants to live life with guilt gnawing at your soul? Who wants to live life like walking on the edge where you're ready to destroy both your health and your happiness all the time? Follow after sin, and that's what you get. Have reverence for God, and you find health. So the question is, will you trust God enough to obey him with humble reverence? Finding wisdom has to do with whom you trust. And then this trust also shows itself in prioritized worshipful giving. And I know that's a mouthful, and I'm sure there's a better way to say it, but I wanted to get all those elements into it. Prioritized worshipful giving. Honor the Lord. So there's the worship. With your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. That's the first part of the harvest. You don't know what's coming in for the rest of the harvest yet. You're trusting God that he's going to keep sending it in. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. He's not so much giving you, okay, here's how you get rich quick. That's not what he's doing here. What Solomon is doing, he's attacking the fear that if you give, you won't have enough. I've heard Christians voice this. I would give, but then I can't make ends meet. And verses like this say, look, you can't make ends meet if you don't give. Because what this shows is your reverence, your honor for God, your trust in God. Generosity doesn't create poverty, but stinginess often does. And with it, a poverty of soul. Now, I've met rich people that are stingy. I don't like being around them much. There's a poverty of soul there. But I've met a lot of poor people that are stingy because they're stingy. And I met a lot of people that are very generous, and it seems like they've always got something to give because God keeps supplying. So the question is, do you trust your wealth or do you trust your God? Wisdom is about trusting the right person. And then verses 11 and 12, gratefully secure suffering. Again, a mouthful, but I think it gets at what's here. My son, do not despise, don't think down on the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves, he rebukes those whom he loves as a father, the son in whom he delights. Suffering is hard, even if it's clearly from the hand of God. But suffering from the hand of God is custom made for our good. His reproof and his discipline are tokens of his love for his children in whom he delights. If he didn't care, he wouldn't bother. Now, it takes a little bit to get your heart and head around, because if you're suffering badly, it may feel like God doesn't like you at all. You're not going, oh, God's really delighting in me today, right? But the reality is that when a father spanks me, when a father corrects me, when a father rebukes me, a father who loves me deeply, I can lean into that rebuke. I can trust that pain to be for my good, because it's from a God that I trust. And that makes all the difference in the world. If I have to go through something really hard, if I know that there's good to come from it, or if I know that I know that it's an expression of good and of love toward me, then I can bear it. So the question is, will you keep trusting God even when life hurts really badly? Trust his wisdom. Trust his love for you. And believe even in the pain that he actually delights in you. We know we're supposed to delight in God. You ever thought about God delights in you? And I think parents, I think we can get our heads around this, right? Even your kids that can be a pain in the neck sometimes because of their disobedience, you still love them. You love them like crazy. You'd give your life for them, right? You delight in them. God is that way toward us. He loves us. He's proven his love. He delights in us. And because he delights in us, he will correct us. He will take us through painful circumstances. And I think most of us can testify as we look back on life that God has graciously used perhaps even the most painful experiences of our life to do the greatest good in our lives. We'd never sign up for it again. Give me some more of that. We never do that. But if it is dispensed to us from the loving hand of God, we will receive it, and we will be grateful, and we will feel secure even in the suffering. Finding wisdom depends entirely on what you treasure and whom you trust, because wisdom is a gift freely given by God to those who want it enough to seek it and to trust him. I hope you have some time this week. Maybe you're using the devotional, Keller's devotional, Navigating Life. I hope you have some time to think about what you actually treasure, what you're actually going after in life, and then whom you actually trust. In so doing, may you find the path to true wisdom. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for your kindness. In some ways, as we look at this, it just almost seems too simple. But Lord, we're simple people. We kind of need hooks to hang our hats on. We need something we can remember. And so God, help us get right down to the heart level and help us seek the things that really matter. Help us seek after your words and your insight, and help us realize that as we seek, our desire is to find you. And in finding you, we find all that we need. And then in finding you, Lord, help us trust you. Help us trust you in all the practical ways that life demands we trust, so that we might walk in wisdom ourselves. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.